plead my case. No obvious. Send me into outer space. And my fingers, I'll be doomed with diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. Yeah? I'm still causing trouble. Better believe that. It's time. It's that time! There's some trouble and I'm still causing it. This should be the Nancy Skinner Show, because I recognize this song. And hold on, John. Get to the good part. Let's copy a channel, shall we? Come on, crank it up. More troublemakers out there than we knew. I am so not alone. Let's put it that way. Hi, it's Nancy Skinner on a Monday, Nancy Skinner Show, and I am so there are lots of troublemakers out there, and I am so happy to hear that. 1-888-64-NANCY, that's the number of the program. That's 1-888-OO-NANCY or 1-646-2629. Hey, first of all, gosh, lots going on today. We've got, we will be all over the swine flu, and I assure you, there's a double entendre in there, in that deal, and developments with the auto industry, breaking news, as we move along here, all kinds of stuff. We've got the latest on torture and the torture politics, all that coming up, in the program today. But first, I just want to start off by thanking, I guess that's the word, thanking so many. I had a rough weekend. I had, if you listen to the show on Friday, I announced that the news was that Randy Rhoads, the radio host that everyone knows, it was in the spot, is returning to the airwaves May 11th. And she's going to be back on her stations that are clear channel stations. That's KTLK in Los Angeles and KPOG in Portland, because it's this her syndicated premiere has a they're owned by the same company, so that's how that goes. And so just let everybody I had to break that news and let everybody know and what they could do if they want to be in touch with us as we continue to move on. NancySkinnerLive.com. I put my that's my website out there, and I'm Nancy at NancySkinnerLive.com. And I was sad. Obviously, I was sad because the way this thing took off, I took over the show. I was filling in one day, and just that's all I knew was I was filling in. And as it turned out, that's the there was a. I'm sure Randy will tell the whole story because I don't know the whole story, but she left and her syndicator left, and there I was. And so we cranked my people. I found my business partner, came together, and we re-engineered the show out of Detroit and kept it alive and just kept the show on the air. And I came to develop a very good relationship with you all, the listeners. But you never really know when you're doing radio. You're just, you're obviously sitting in a little booth, and you can look at, I can see Krieg, my producer there, waving at me, but that's it. Except for the callers, and I know we've developed a relationship, but when I announced that, and I was, I've had a lot of ups and downs in my career, lots, and just when things are starting to take off, seems like there's always setbacks, so I was a little bummed out, and then I was inundated with emails from you all, and I am going to be answering them as I can in one-on-one, but I want you to know you got me, you kept me alive, you kept me through the weekend, that if you took the time to write me an email, and the overwhelming majority of them were just wonderful, and honest to God, kept me sane, made me feel good that you got what I was trying to do. A lot of people don't get, I debate the other side, and I try and do, and a lot of people, some people don't get that, and they've given me a hard time about that, but it was overwhelming, and I just want to thank you and say that it meant a lot. I read them all. I read every one of them. And Sharon, my webmaster, we were just overwhelmed, and some of them brought me to tears, and I said, I gotta now I know why I work this hard, and now I know what it is I do, because there are people out there that are taking this in, and we it's a we thing. We are part of a movement that is going to, you know, really restore some sanity out here. So if you took the time to write me, a lot of people wanted, and they, you know, my email is Nancy@NancySkinnerLive.com if you haven't. These mean a lot to me. We are compiling these for the make Nancy feel better about this, and life goes on, and we are going to keep moving along here with lots of stuff coming down the pike, actually, with the new website or the new studios we're moving into next week. We got all kinds of tools and fun stuff that we have going on. So we want you to sign up at the website, though. That's the key way. If you sign up at NancySkinnerLive.com, there's a little sign up thing there, then you'll get information where I am, what stations, what TV, our internet, everything we're doing, the streaming, the podcasting, the webcasting, all these great things. But you got to sign up so that you're able to keep in track of us throughout that process. And if you want, a lot of people ask me, who do I write just to let people know how we think about you and your show? The stations that so far I understand because of their relationship will be moving are, and a lot of people said, hey, keep them both. We love them both. A lot of people said that, and I thank you, and I'm sure I'm going to read just a couple emails. But KTLK, our big station in Los Angeles, our big horn there, KTLK AM 1150 AM.com. And I think that's the website. And then in Portland, it's 620 KPOJ. .com in Portland are the two clear channel. But if, you know, if you're in Buffalo, and I know we had a lot of listeners in Buffalo, that's what is that, KB150.com. They're not clear channel, but, you know, just if you like me, this is your chance. Wherever your station is, you should let them know you've enjoyed the show, because they, you know, program directors are like everyone else, like every business manager. They like feedback. They like to know how people feel about things. So a quick email is really important. They do pay attention to that stuff, just like everyone does in all of their business life. So I you said great things to me, and I appreciate it. And so I just I want to tell you got me through the weekend, and I feel so much better. So wait till you hear my story, though, because it's pretty funny. Here's one. I gotta say, this is just one that really sums it up in a lot of ways. This is from Molly. Molly, I want you to know this, that what you, your email made me cry, and I know I'm a wimpy Pisces, but it did. You wrote, Nancy is wonderful. What a powerful, informed, mature, and strong voice this woman adds to the airwaves of our nation. Thank you, Nancy. I deeply want to see Nancy Skinner stay in the airwaves everywhere her voice has been spreading to. I'm so grateful to see a woman who, rather being an abrasive and immature and polarizing, combines the much greater strength of depth and integrity with intelligence. There is a power behind this combination that cannot be underestimated. More voices such as Nancy Skinner's are crucial to the healing, coming together, and moving forward of our nation. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you, Molly. I think there's room for lots of voices of all different sorts. I've always said that all along. You know, that's just from the day one I said that. And all the hosts are my friends, and they all have different. We all have different styles, but I just keep my style because that's who I am. And I can't be anything that I'm not. You know, you can't just perform. You can't do this for 3 hours. You can't be talking on the air for 3 hours and not be yourself. I don't think. I mean, I can't. So. A lot of other folks, you know, just writing in. This is Linda and Glenn. They write in and say, longtime listener of Progressive Radio in Los Angeles, a fan of Randy, and was upset when her show disappeared. Starting to listen to you, you're great. A little bit the opposite coin of Randy, but a delight. I'm happy to have Randy's return. I hate to lose your show. I wish the management and all their infinite wisdom would realize what a treasure your show is on the air. I think we need you both. And my best wishes to you and your career. I heard a lot of those. That's why I'm reading that. A lot of people are just happy and want voices across the spectrum. Let's see. Anything different? Yeah, a lot of people just want to know I was and still am a big fan of Randy Rhoads, and I love your style as well. Oh, okay, this is the lead into this one. I saw you for the first time this weekend on Fox arguing with, what, 3 or 4 different guys? It must be tough to be the minority voice on Fox. I hope KTLK finds a spot for you. I really enjoy your way of interviewing people. I get your humor, and I appreciate your heart-on-your-sleeve personality. I like Randy because, hey, I'm a member of the choir, but preaching to the choir doesn't really extend the progressive message. I think yours does. Keep up the work. I'll try to find you online no matter where you are. So when we come back, that was the Fox thing. Those are my, you know, some of my good emails. And Oh, I got a few that weren't so good from the left, but you know what? I'm going to do my Fox emails because they're funnier. From an appearance I did on Cap and Trade over the weekend. And then I have a very personal story about the good news story and the bad news story over the weekend. So I did Fox, and we have a special edition of Love Letters coming up, one of my favorite segments from the other side. So when we get back, I'll share those with you. But thank you very, very much for that warm outpouring of support. It meant a lot to me. It meant everything to me. I really mean that. You're there. I know you're there and listening. And that, to me, makes everything I do worth it. Monday, gradually here on the Nancy Skinner Show, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-2-NANCY. All right, so how was your weekend? You know, usual trying to do a big topic. My favorite topic was touched on bulls and bears. I did an appearance on Fox, and we'll do it for you later because I watched this MSNBC special. And by the way, I'm Twittering too. Finally, so you can follow me. And I was watching that MSNBC Future Earth documentary, and I Twittered, I wondered if John Boehner was watching that, about the melting Arctic. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So that's probably where that fits in, that segment about cap and trade. I had a big fight, and it was 4-on-1, and of course they're going to call it the pollution tax. I think last week I was telling you that this is going to be the mother of all battles, and they're going to call it the pollution tax. So I have a sample for you of what's coming down the pipe. But before we get to that, it is so funny, the emails that I get when I'm on, that I've always, through the years, crafted a little sort of special song. And I take a little quiet time, burn a little incense before I read my emails after a Fox appearance. This from Paul. Dear Nancy, are you really as stupid as you appeared on Bulls and Bears this morning? Cap and trade is nothing more than a Democrat plan to tax the hell out of all Americans. That's the truth. And no spin you could put on it will ever change it. You even had that Shinola-eating grin on your face as you were trying to convince the panel that it was pure free market in action. What a load of BS. You think Bush lied? For crying out loud, that's all Obama has done since he started running for president. Lying about everything from his pastor's sermons to his affiliations with terrorists to no taxes on average Americans. Get real. If you can't see the truth, stop spreading the lies. I was raised in California when it was popular to say you live there. Now all my relatives are ashamed to have put up with all that stupidity coming out of Sacramento. And watch what San Fran Man is doing in D.C. I am so glad I saw you on TV. Now I know what show to never listen to if I ever get back to California. Glad to be from the heartland. Love, Paul. Paul, I live in Michigan. Hey, Nancy. Every time you opened your mouth this morning, the foul stench that flowed was just what Gary said it was. BS. I've grown to truly hate liberals because of people like you. They simply have no clue. You were right, however, when you said Obama has done more in 100 days than Bush did in 8 years. The only problem is you left out the word harm. You're a doofus if you believe in this empty suit in the White House. Just how many criminals has he placed in this administration in the first 100 days? Who's really running the show? Is it that former first me, Hillary, that completely dimbled Biden? How about Nancy, I just love Botox Pelosi. Our country is going down. I'm not going there. Okay. Okay. Who's pocket are you in to spread this BS around, Nancy? Love, David. Here you go. From Steve. Hello. I've watched you on Fox News, and I think you really need to travel to Michigan. As you know, we are really in a mess here. Look at Detroit. And they haven't had Democratic rule for 25 years. He goes on and on about the Michigan situation, how bad it is. You really should, Steve, fly over our country. You should travel to Michigan. Love, Stephen. Stephen, I did write that guy back. I live in Michigan. My favorite. Nancy, saw you on Fox. Your hair was all sweaty. We figured you screwed the janitor in the closet right before going on the air. You really are ignorant. Why would you go on a TV show where financial expertise was valued, being as dumb as you are? I wish you would just go away. Stay off Fox, please. Love, with love, Ken. We'll be back on the Nancy Skinner Show. Show Nancy Skinner, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629, the number to the program. A few love letters. All right, so get over my weekend. You know, life goes on. We've got all kinds of planned stuff in store for you like you have no idea. And I'm like, oh, yeah, it's kind of tough because I love my KTLK listeners and I love my KPOJ listeners in Portland, and so that's going to be tough for me. And the good news is, though, we're moving to the new studios next week, and we've been working on this, and so I'm that, like, my friends are like, and then, you know, the other thing is, they didn't want me live for the first couple days just because while they were working on all the kinks, they wanted it to be something so that they didn't. It's the first time from brand new studios. So they kicked me out, and they said, you probably should just go away for a couple days while we're doing this. So guess where I bought my ticket? Guess where I was going on vacation? Wednesday? Yeah, Mexico. Are you kidding me? Nope, not kidding you. Had tickets for Mexico. And still do. Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. And so, obviously, been following the swine flu news very closely. There's an advisory put out by the CDC about travel, non-essential travel. I would argue that it's very essential for me to get out of the country for a couple of days. But it's a serious, I don't know if what word we're using at this point. We have the Surgeon General. He's going to be calling into the program in just a little bit. And we're going to be all over this thing with updates as this the news coverage is it changes every few minutes, even as I'm on the air. So let's start off with Dr. Robert Lajeda. He is the chairman of medicine at the Newark Beth Israel Hospital. He's a professor at Mount Sinai School of Medicine. Hi, Dr. Lajeda. Thanks for joining us.
Hi, Nancy. How are you?
I'm very well. I was just telling my listeners, though, I was going to get out of town for a couple of days because I'm moving for studios, and they didn't want me here, so I got tickets to Cabo San Lucas, and I leave on Wednesday.
Talk about poor timing.
Hey, story of my life, if you only knew, if you had any idea. So, this is me, but there's a lot of people that whether they're traveling or not, are worried about it. First me. Would you go if you were me?
I probably would, because this has gotten a lot of press, and there are precautions now being taken at the airports, and Cabo San Lucas is, if I'm not mistaken, pretty far away from Mexico City.
It is. It's way down south, but I did see that there was a case, confirmed case of swine flu in Cabo.
Yeah, now will you have access? Now I would say that you probably should take a little Tamiflu or Relenza with you. Those are drugs that we've stockpiled in our hospitals now, and we're prepared for this major influx of patients, which may never happen. But if it does happen, we're prepared. If you're going to go away like that, I would certainly take some medication with you.
Yeah, I just picked some up, Tamiflu.
Right.
I called my doctor.
Perfect. So,
now, do you take that before you go, or just in case you seem like you're about ready to die?
No, you don't take it before you go. In fact, I have the official guidelines that were just sent over to me regarding the potential for getting the flu, and I wouldn't take it until you are at risk. Recommended precautions here. Antiviral is, that's chemoprophylaxis. That's what we call it. That's the big name for it. We recommend it for people who are really travelers who are at high risk for complications, such as if you have a chronic medical condition, if you're very, very old, if you're a severe diabetic, etc. But we don't recommend that you take it unless you have those conditions.
Yes, symptoms. Okay. Because, right, because it's just, you want to lower your immunity, is that it? That's,
yeah.
We don't
yeah.
want this thing to become, no, so tell us that's the big concern right now. It's a mix of viruses, and the real big concern is that somehow the virus itself can change over time, mutate, and become more potent, or it is what it is?
It is what it is
oh, good.
For now.
Okay.
It's got the genes of North American bird flu, North American pig flu, human type A, and Eurasian pig, if that means anything to your listeners.
Well, Doctor, I got to ask you this. To me, that's a creepy combination of stuff, and I'm wondering how it happened.
Well, really, I've been asked that question since Saturday morning, and no one really knows, including the Surgeon General, who I would be surprised if he or she would say that, I think it's a she, knows what it's all about. But I have to say that we just don't know how it happens, but these things jump species periodically. So it jumped from the pig to the human, and now there's sustained transmission, obviously, between humans, which is the scary thing. The non-scary thing is that most of the people who have gotten it, at least in America, have not had any severe case. They haven't even been in the hospital, which is great.
Mm-hmm. So, but in Mexico, it's a different story. Could it
yes.
be two different viruses altogether?
I don't think so. I think we're testing them serologically. That means via blood testing and through certain kinds of high-tech procedures, and proven that the virus is the virus. And it's only one type of virus right now, the H1N1, and we can test for it in a specific laboratory with specific serological and biochemical techniques and prove that it is one and the same as the Mexican virus.
Well, then, is it a matter of the potency of the virus? Because some of the people here never sought treatment, and there they didn't seek treatment, and they died. So, you know, you can't say it's just bad treatment, right?
Can't really say no. No one really knows. There are subtypes for the acid, for the virus, but so far none of the specific subtypes that I'm aware of have been detected. It's just been one strain. So
okay.
There's no potency increase in the virus or decrease potency of the virus that we are aware of.
Now, so what is the big, you know, concern? We're looking at EU is saying don't travel to the United States or Mexico. The U.S. is saying that's nonsense. Just don't travel to Mexico.
Yeah.
You got the big travel wars. I think it's more of a trade war than anything that's
yeah.
going on. But, you know, what is the big concern? Is it in a global environment? You know, because I am worried about the airplane. I will say I'm not worried about being in Cabo. I am worried about the airplane.
Well, the big concern I think that the Europeans have is, and I think it's a phony concern, because this is going to travel whether they like it or not. These kinds of things tend to go in airplanes, on boats, etc. And the world, as I've said all weekend, is contracted so that, you know, even before you know it, we've got 20 Canadians infected. We've got 40 Americans as of an hour ago infected, and so on. And that's going to happen all over the world. There's a couple of cases in Spain. And once it gets a foothold, whether you like it or not, it's transmitted. It's transmitted via droplets, sneezing, coughing, touching other individuals that have the virus, and you can be infected before you even know that the other patient has the virus. So it's going to happen, and that's the way these things go. Now, it may turn out to be nothing over time. On the other hand, it may turn out to be something, and they go in waves.
Mm-hmm.
As the pandemic of 1918, which, by the way, this has been compared to, but kind of falsely, because we didn't have antiviral drugs and we had no antibiotics in those days. So that was a totally different time mm-hmm. you might have the same kind of virus, but you have totally different.
You have a different. The spread patterns are the same. It's just you don't. We are able to contain it more efficiently, right?
We can contain it.
Now, this just doesn't seem as deadly as when we had this discussion about the bird flu, bird flu. And is it just the nastiness of the virus itself?
Well, the bird flu, interesting, was an H5 virus, H5N1. This is an H1N1. So this confirms.
Oh, I feel so much better, doctor.
No, well, it actually is a little bit more curious because the virus that was typed back in 1918 that caused the worldwide pandemic was an H1. It wasn't an H5. So the bird flu is an H5, and that's a different serotype. And it's really relegated to Egypt, the Far East, etc. right now. And that has never really taken hold.
Mm-hmm.
This one seems to be moving pretty quickly, and only because it's our continent, I guess.
Doctor, let's ask the Surgeon General, because I understand he is on the line, and we will see what the latest is. If you will please hold,
we'll
grab him on the line, and we'll have him join us.
Thank you.
Joining us now is Rear Admiral Stephen Galston, who is the Surgeon General, Acting Surgeon General of the United States. Thank you so much, Doctor.
I'm happy to be here. Good afternoon.
Well, thanks for having us. You're on the line with Dr. Lahita at Mount Sinai.
Oh, great.
And so what we were talking about is the difference between this and the bird flu. What's the latest, doctor, in terms of this? Do we think this is something like the bird flu, which we all kind of got educated about, or not quite as virulent?
You know, there are thousands of viruses. This is a separate virus. It's not the bird flu. It's swine flu. It's early in the epidemic to really understand the exact virulence or the strength of the virus, how sick it makes people, how easily it's spread. So it's a little bit early to make those comparisons.
Are you trying to figure out why it's deadly in Mexico and not in the United States?
Yes, we are. We're putting a lot of resources into trying to understand the difference between the fatality rate, the number of people that have been infected who've died in Mexico, and the proportion in the U.S.
What's your working theories on that?
You know, we don't really know. There's a wide range of possibilities that may have to do with underlying medical conditions or health status. It's really too early to say. I don't like to speculate about things like that.
But you've collected samples of the virus here and there and compared them under a petri dish, and they look exactly the same?
Well, there's a lot more to characterizing a virus than just looking. I think you know that, of course. You can't actually see them. You have to do very sophisticated testing, and that's what's underway. And, of course, I know you recognize all that sort of technical science stuff is not really what people are going to make a difference to people. What the public needs to know is that there are really things that they can do individually and in families to protect their health. And if it's okay, I'd like to go through what some of those things are.
It's very okay, doctor, because I'm going to Cabo San Lucas on Wednesday, Mexico.
Well, I'm not sure that I would advise that. You know, there's a travel warning that the CDC has issued for postponing non-essential travel, but, of course, that's your decision.
I wasn't aware of that. That's good to know.
That was just issued this afternoon. Anyway, what the public can do is, mm-hmm. let me go through a few quick steps. The first is cover your nose and mouth with a tissue when you cough or sneeze, and then get rid of that tissue. The second is wash your hands often with soap and water, especially after you cough and sneeze. You can use those alcohol-based hand cleansers as well. They're very effective. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, or your mouth. That's how germs are spread, from your fingers into your respiratory system through those roots. And if what's obvious, everyone's mother has told them this, avoid close contact with sick people. And, of course, if you do get sick, stay home, because it's very easily spread, any of these respiratory diseases. Try to stay away from work. Have your kids stay home from school, and that will help us as a nation to contain this.
Now, so how, if you're trying to get a handle on where this is right now, we're hearing reports of New York and a few states, but do you want people that are sick, you get reports from hospitals, you're getting reports from what, individuals, or how are you collecting your information about where and how this is spreading?
The reports come through the state health departments, and they, in turn, those state health departments monitor hospitals. They monitor laboratory test results, and that's how the data is collected. One of the things you have to keep in mind is, of course, we're still in the flu season. It's coming to an end, but there are hundreds of thousands of cases of regular, you know, seasonal influenza every year, as well as a lot of just normal upper respiratory diseases. So just because someone has a fever and a cough doesn't mean they have swine flu, and it's important not to overreact.
Are there any distinct symptoms that are different, that stand out, or you should go to your doctor under either circumstance?
Not really. This is pretty much just like the seasonal flu. You know, fever, body aches, cough. You can sometimes have gastrointestinal symptoms, but there's nothing that we've identified yet that's really special about this.
How about cramping and puking?
It can happen, but it's not at the top of the list with fever and cough and chills and aches.
Really? Okay. So, any gut? What's your gut tell you, doctor? Because we have obviously, because of the avian flu crisis, we've been preparing for some any pandemic. Do you feel like this is a dress rehearsal in a way? It's not the real thing, or do you just have no idea at this point?
You know what I feel, and this is what we've been all talking about. We are concerned. There is no question that we're concerned, but there is no reason to panic. Talking about what every single family can do, what people can do in their workplaces, that's what's most important. The government is working hard. We're coordinated very well. We have been training for this, and we're going to keep the public abreast of what's happening every single day. You'll know what we know.
Well, we very much appreciate you joining us to give us that very, very important information, our Surgeon General, Rear Admiral Stephen Galston. Thank you so much, Surgeon General. Mr. General.
And want to make sure you know about the website, www.cdc.gov/swineflu.
Oh, you know I'll be checking that every 10 minutes before I make my hop on a plane.
Okay, good luck.
Thank you so much, Doctor.
Bye-bye.
And Dr. Ojeda, I think, are you able to stay with us for a couple quick questions?
Sure.
Okay, great. So Dr. Ojeda will stay with us. That was pretty interesting to get that update from the Surgeon General, the Acting Surgeon General of the United States. If you have some questions about this, we have another doctor who can help answer it as we all try and figure out what it is, I guess. And that's 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-6-2629. What next? You know, global meltdown, wars, as if the swine, a pandemic, like we needed this, like we need anything else to happen, but more to come. All right, let's jump back in here because we got yet another major world event on our hands. As if the meltdown wasn't enough, we have a pandemic. Well, let's not call it that. Let's not be hasty because we don't want fear and panic to spread in this thing. That's always the worst thing. Don't panic, says Homer Simpson. But it's the Nancy Skinner Show, 1-888-64-NANCY. I'm Nancy Skinner. Dr. Robert Lajeda is still with me. He's a chair of medicine at Newark Beth Hospital in Mount Sinai. And, doctor, first of all, we just had the Surgeon General on the program. If you're just tuning in, the United States, the Acting Surgeon General, you heard what he had to say. You know doctors speak. Was he holding back in terms of urgency? Did you sense that, or was that just me?
Well, I think you read it both ways. I think he was holding back. He can't, obviously, he's in a very responsible position and can't spread a lot of panic. Plus, I think he was very honest in saying he really doesn't know the direction in which this virus is going in, and nor do we know. And you asked a very good question, where the patients that were deceased in Mexico, were they compromised in some way? Were they very old? Although I was told they were not. I was told everybody was below the age of 60. But did they have other medical conditions? Because there were thousands of people infected and 148 deaths. So as you know, and I know now, that if you have an underlying condition, you're at significant risk of getting side effects.
Like, what would that be?
Well, chronic pulmonary, that's lung, heart, kidney, liver, blood disorders, or metabolic disorders like diabetes. If you're on a drug for cancer and you're immunosuppressed, that's dangerous. If you have,
like, I don't have a thyroid, so does that?
No, thyroid doesn't count.
Oh, good.
compromised lung function, such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, like somebody who's a chronic smoker, you know who they are, the pink puffers, or as we say, blue bloaters. Those patients mm-hmm. who cough lots and lots of mucus, and they have not necessarily immunocompromised, but lung compromise. People who are pregnant. That's an interesting group because mm-hmm. they're resistant or cannot be given some of these antivirals. We're not sure whether pregnancy would be an adverse condition, but I would say for most pregnant women to be very careful with your exposure to presumed infected individuals. And, of course, the elderly.
Yeah.
I mean, and children less than 4 years of age.
So calm down. Wash your hands, stay inside, that kind of stuff. Doctor, we're like 5 seconds out of time here. Dr. Robert Lajita, thank you so much. We appreciate your wonderful advice today.
Thank you. Thanks for calling.
You bet. Okay.
Stay tuned.
Here we go, swinging from one crisis to another. That's all crisis all the time. On the Nancy Skinner Show, I'm Nancy Skinner. 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629. Or Nancy at NancySkinnerLive.com, where you need to sign up for my website. Especially if I do, in fact, go to Mexico. That was my little well-deserved getaway, you know. Kind of get away, and for a couple days while they were changing over studios, that was the plan. I mean, come on, how does this happen to someone? This is unreal. That was my plan, and then the Surgeon General himself told me probably shouldn't go. I don't know. I consider it essential travel that I take a couple days off. We'll monitor it and let you know. There's all kinds of stuff going on, folks. Stocks retreat amid swine flu fears. Stocks retreated today amid worries that swine flu outbreak could derail the economic recovery. But drug makers and pharmacies advanced. I bought my Tamiflu to take with me. So I'm watching that, watching the CDC, watching these reports, and it's like exponentially growing in the United States, the cases here, 20 to 40, whatnot. Then all of a sudden they report an earthquake in Mexico, not in Mexico City, somewhere outside of Mexico City. Now the stock market's tanking on news of the swine flu fears. And to add to the list of the market's worries today, a Boeing 747, that's a backup to Air Force One, flew low over New York's Hudson River just after 10 a.m., causing mass evacuations and panic on Wall Street and the rest of Lower Manhattan. It was later revealed to be an Air Force One photo op, though one office building was told it was an advertisement for a movie. I can't imagine that they would do a photo op for Air Force One, but we shall see. I have a good friend who's a helicopter pilot. He does movies in New York City. I should call him and figure out. He will know exactly what it is. So the market is tanking on this, and we're going to get an update from Phil LeBeau at CNBC about the about the auto situation. There's big breaking news across a couple of fronts there with the auto industry as well that will affect the market even further. And I think we do. Do we have... Yes, we do. We have CNBC's Phil LeBeau, the auto industry beat top guy, jock, crack reporter at CNBC. How's
I'm here.
That? Is that your official title, Phil?
That works. As part of my job, I'm trying to withstand the wind out here in front of the GM headquarters. But, it is one of those days that I think a lot of people have to reflect upon what's happened and realize that we're seeing a General Motors that's going to be dramatically smaller.
Mm-hmm. Now, listen, this is a national show, but I'm Detroit-based. So I've been keeping my audience apprised of this in a way that the rest of the country hasn't had. They just haven't because of all these other issues going on. They don't realize how loudly this countdown clock is ticking. And even if there is some sort of deal, you're saying that this company, the announcement was GM to shed 23,000 jobs and kill the Pontiac? Is that the major news today?
Well, yeah. They're going to be getting rid of the Pontiac brand. They're going to be building fewer models. And the other thing that they're going to be doing is, speeding up the plant cuts that are going to be happening around the country,
mm-hmm.
adding another 7,000 to 8,000 hourly jobs that are going to be cut. We're really looking at a company that's going to be much smaller, much more nimbler in the future. But it's going to be painful getting there.
Now, there's also some news that the part of the development is that the $13.4 billion loan from the government may be converted into common stock, forcing the U.S. taxpayer to be the majority shareholder, right, of GM?
Correct. They would become the majority shareholder, owning 50% of the common stock for General Motors. It's not all $13.4 billion. It's about $10 billion. But that's part of the debt exchange that the company's proposing as they try to eliminate $44 billion in debt.
So how about their bondholders? I'll get to the Chrysler situation there, but so in the UAW, but how is that being received by the bondholders over at GM? Because
they don't
have secured debt, though.
Because the bondholders are looking at this, they are owed $24 billion. That's how much they have lent to the company. Now they are being offered just 10% of the company as their exchange offer. The UAW is owed $10 billion, far less than $24 billion, and yet it is in line to own 39% of the company's stock. So from the bondholders' perspective, they're scratching their head saying, wait a second, this is not fair. When I asked Chris Henderson about it today, his answer was, I'm not here to judge what's fair and what's not fair. My job is to go with what's Treasury Department and the other task force were comfortable with, and they were only comfortable with the bondholders being offered 10% of the stake. That's going to be a real sticking point as we approach the bond exchange deadline of May 26th.
Isn't that because, Phil, the UAW now has, they're going to take, they have this $10 billion IOU from the company for their health care fund, and they're going to take 50% equity in that. So they have to have some serious money to fund their health care requirements of retirees. Isn't that why that's a different number from the bondholders and the UAW?
Well, I mean, it's how you look at it. I mean, from the bondholders' perspective, $10 billion equaling 39% stake should not equate with $24 billion coming out to a 10% stake. That's the bondholders' perspective. They say you do the math, it's not fair. They are taking a greater hit than the UAW. Now, from the UAW perspective, they believe that this is a fair and equitable way to fund that retirement health care trust. It's all, your perspective and how you look at it. But that's why the bondholders are going to be fighting this.
Yeah, but see, the only problem is that we, the taxpayers, are going to get saddled with whatever those health care retiree costs aren't covered. So, it's not just the bondholders and the UAW. It's us, the taxpayers, that should be at this table. And I suppose in the form of the auto task force they are. Now, I know you don't have a lot of time, so let's move over to Chrysler. This says that the UAW cut their deal with Chrysler that allows Fiat to come in. And now we're just waiting for the bondholders. That's J.P. Morgan Chase,
right.
Citigroup, and those folks. What's going on over there?
Well, I mean, we're waiting, and we will know probably by tomorrow, if not Wednesday, whether or not they come in. the latest that I've heard from people is there's a pretty good indication that they have a good chance of getting the bondholders to make an agreement there. But, you know, that's another one where it's going to come down to the last minute, although I think there's a little more optimism there than there is with General Motors.
Really? Because it was just the reverse not too long ago.
Right. And that shows you how fickle these debt exchange offers can be.
But, you know, the problem is that the debt holders at GM don't have secured debt. So if they go into bankruptcy, they might get 10% now, if that's what they're looking at. But it's better than zero if they go into bankruptcy.
But they would be higher on the priority list than the common shareholders. And they would also make an argument that they're higher on the list than the UAW. Bond always ranks over other forms, with the exception of the secured debt. So that's their argument there.
Last question, Phil, and that is the interconnection, the supply chain between them. While we're looking at Chrysler and GM, you could have a couple major suppliers fall out and both of them get
absolutely
knocked out.
The Treasury Department believes, though, that they have made the changes in the supplier program to guarantee that they are going to get their payments through GM and Chrysler. They're fairly optimistic that even though there are a lot of suppliers who are teetering on the fence, that they can make sure they don't fall over.
Greater chance of a swine flu pandemic or a bankruptcy in the auto industry. Quick!
There you go.
You don't know. You can't say. 50-50, huh?
That's right. That's right.
Great. Well, Phil, hey, I'll let you get inside there because it's 82 degrees in Detroit. You shouldn't be out in that cold wind.
Thank you, Nancy.
Phil LeBeau is the auto correspondent for CNBC, giving us the latest on the auto industry because they're coming down to their deadline. And, you know, from the Who Cares file, now we're worried about 20 cases of swine flu that apparently aren't even deadly in New York, and an entire industry is, like, teetering on bankruptcy. And wait till you hear what else. I watched my little MSNBC special. No one cares about that. I'm going to connect the dots on that one coming up. I got my Tamiflu. I'm out of here. I don't care. What's the point? It's just like, you know, it's all ugly. 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. What are you more worried about, I guess? That's the question. Are you more worried about swine flu, an auto bankruptcy, global warming, or I know, prosecution of the Bush torture guys? 1-888-64-NANCY, that's, what is that? What? That's 1-888-646-2629 on the Nancy Skinner Show. Here we go again. Yep, another crisis. The Nancy Skinner Show, we're covering them all. Jumping from one to one. Pharmaceutical drug, yeah, invest in pharmaceuticals. I'm sure that they're going to do well. 1-888-64-NANCY. Okay, here's the headlines. Military monitoring the outbreak. They're not going to release their stockpiles of Tamiflu and the other one yet. They want to reserve it for the military. WHO will raise the alert to an unprecedented level. 2,000 people in Mexico hospitalized with serious pneumonia. EU says don't travel to the U.S. or Mexico. The U.S. calls EU's travel warning unwarranted. Russia's checking all the planes from America. State Department issues a travel warning, and I'm going to Cabo on Wednesday. I told you there's going to be bigger things we got to worry about here as this world gets more complicated. Let's go to the phones. 1-888-64. Nancy is the number to the program, starting with Scott. Hi, Scott.
Hi, Nancy.
How are you?
I heard you the other day say that you're going to be leaving KTLK in LA, and I was really sorry to hear that. I just wanted to be one more voice that says how much I appreciate your style of broadcasting.
Well, thanks, Scott. You know, tell the station that maybe there's room for me somewhere else on that lineup or dial or
and
something.
And I'm going to do everything I can to help you out there.
Great. I appreciate that. Do you think I should go to Mexico?
I would not go to Mexico right now. No, I wouldn't.
Really?
And it's not because of the swine flu. I have kind of sworn off Mexico for quite a long time now for many other reasons.
Oh, okay. But it wouldn't be a fear-based decision.
It would not be a fear-based decision, no. I just want to say I am not, I'm not racist. I'm not saying anything about Mexico or Mexicans. I just have my own personal reasons for not going. So.
Okay.
It has nothing to do with fear-based.
All right. Well, then I'll leave it at that. Scott, and I thank you so much for your compliment. That does mean a lot to me. It really does. Thanks
okay.
so much.
You
okay.
have a good day.
You bet. Ramona is up next in Los Angeles. Hi, Ramona.
Hi. How are you doing?
I'm very well. Thank you.
I think that we, our government, is big enough that it can handle any problem that comes its way. If you start choosing what problems you're going to have, then what they're going to do is start throwing other stuff at you that's going to try to keep you always off track.
Well, I mean, you know, like take for instance this pandemic. Let's compare this to the Bush administration's handling of. Don't you feel more comfortable with this administration, by the way? The handling of Katrina. These guys are all over this thing already. They are, you know, the CDC. Everybody's working on this, but that means that somebody, the attention of the media, the attention of all these folks is going to move away from something else. You realize that, right? You can't handle everything all at once.
Yes. I'm very, very comfortable with this administration handling these problems. What I'm saying is this, is they have the problems, they get on board right fast. Like Bush could care less about anything that happens other than what he wanted. That's what I'm saying. The world could go around and it'd be falling apart. He didn't care as long as what he wanted was done. And I think they can handle anything.
Ramona, you honestly think, all right, so, I mean, there's different things, but again, do you think that Bush really wouldn't care if there was a pandemic, if millions of people died?
I don't think he cares.
You really don't?
I really don't.
I don't think that he's competent to handle it. I don't, no. But do I think that at some level the guy cares if millions of people died? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I don't.
You don't. You think he could care less if millions of people died?
As long as he got what he wanted.
All right. All right, Ramona. I don't think he could handle what he, I don't think he was a terrible president, but I think it's quite a charge to say someone doesn't care if millions of people die. I think that's quite a harsh charge, reminiscent of the other extreme that I don't like either of, that makes me uncomfortable. Let's go to Frank in Los Angeles. Hi, Frank, how are you?
Hey, I'm sorry to hear that KTLK and KPOJ are going to dump you, but being that they are Clear Channel, they're big business progressives, which is a contradiction in terms, and I think that your listeners in those areas should listen to Pacifica Network stations.
No, you can't say, you don't want to say that. I might be on the station, Frank. and you know, everything's big business. I mean, that's what it is now.
No, not Pacifica Network. That's a democratically run network. Not the big business, corporate commercial network.
Well, that's the way it is.
That's
I want to get on
as
big,
I'm concerned.
Frank, I want to get on big, big commercial networks. I do. So I'm for that. I'm for capitalism and those big commercial networks so we can make some money and have more stations and get this message out and do good things and all of that. It's all good to me. It's not an either or. It's all good. We are a capitalist nation, and everybody should be making money. And we should be dealing with kind of the most important thing at a time. If it's a pandemic, it's a pandemic. Global warming, when we come up. You want to be scared? I'll scare you coming up on the Nancy Skinner Show. Okay, so we need grown-ups in government. Okay, that's really principle number one. Grown-ups in government, especially now. It is a Nancy Skinner Show, 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 1-888-646-2629. All right, why? Why do we actually need grown-ups in government? Because we've got a lot of problems. We've been looking at these things coming down the pike, and thank God we have the Bush administration out, Obama in. But remember that whole thing about during the stimulus bill debate about volcano monitoring, and Bobby Jindal, the governor of Louisiana, made, do we really need money in there for volcano monitoring? And then shortly thereafter, Alaska's Mount Redoubt erupted. Yeah, maybe some government-funded science might be a good thing. Well, here we go. Huffington, actually The Nation. This is The Nation reporting this, that of all people, this is sort of shocking, moderate senator from Maine, Susan Collins, she was beaming about how she stripped from the stimulus bill flu pandemic funding. She said during that debate, does it really belong in this bill? Should we have $870 million in this bill? No, we should not. Even now, Collins continues to use her official website to highlight the fact that she's led the fight to strip pandemic preparedness money out of the Senate's version of the stimulus bill. And do we have that CNN footage of this?
Joe, we have a potential pandemic.
A national health emergency.
The World Health Organization says the outbreak has pandemic potential.
And the CDC says it fears death in the United States.
We could be in danger of a worldwide flu pandemic.
A pandemic.
That's not it, Krieg. Keep looking. Go on Huffington Post and you'll find it for me.
$420 million to prepare for a possible flu pandemic someday.
One of the things they talked about yesterday was stripping away some money for pandemic flu as just one example.
There's funding to help improve our preparedness for a pandemic flu. There's $780 million for pandemic flu preparedness. What does that have to do with an economic stimulus package?
Do I have to say anything about that? Because we need to prepare for flu pandemics, because they could wipe out like hundreds of millions of people, and we need to prepare for things like, say, global warming. Now, well, here's what's really bothering me. So I'm watching the flu pandemic, and this is making my point here over the last couple of weeks, folks, that there is media oxygen, and what we pay attention to is very important. And so now, flu pandemic, if you look at the coverage of this on the news, it's constant. I mean, it is wall to wall, every network. You got a little bit of it first from the first cut there. There's Fox, but CNN, they're all doing the same thing. MSNBC, it is freak out about this flu pandemic. No one has died in the United States. In fact, everybody here, most of them weren't even hospitalized. And this is just, it's the most immediate thing. And in terms of ratings, it's going to scare the heck out of you. So I can see where that's easy. Okay, and I can see why they're going to pay all that attention to it. But listen to this. You know, this was on MSNBC. Did a documentary special last night that was called Future Earth, and I'm just going to give you the very short version. After what it was there was an expedition, a French expedition, and if you haven't seen this, I highly recommend you watch this program. It's an hour documentary. But they were there for 2 years and studied all of the changing situation with the Arctic and the melting Arctic ice, and it was scary to live through that and what they had to put up with, and the ice was changing. But let me give you, they took all the scientific evidence of what's going on there, and let me give you the wrap-up. Okay, this is just the wrap-up of this program, and if I'm blowing it for you, hey, you kind of already know, because I'm going to blow Frost Nixon for you, too. I already got that. Just be prepared when we get into that. I'm going to blow the ending. So if you want, it's a great movie. So if you want to see it, you know, I'm warning you. But I'll give you fair warning. But I'm going to blow how this whole global warming thing ends up on MSNBC. Here it is. Here is the conclusion from this expedition of 2 years of what's happening to our Arctic.
And the summer of 2007, which Tara spent adrift in the Arctic, was the warmest ever recorded there.
If the trend that we've seen for the last decade will continue through the next 10 years or so,
this will be enough to melt all the ice, and we will reach zero line on this extrapolated trend into the future sometime around 2013.
With the Arctic possibly ice-free as soon as the summer of
2013,
the world will warm even faster as the Arctic's waters absorb the sun's rays rather than being reflected by ice. Further, the warming could cause methane gases trapped in the Arctic's permafrost to be released as the tundra thaws, turning up the thermostat even more. The result, unfortunately, might bring on a doomsday scenario befitting a Hollywood disaster film. But this will be no movie. Possible species extinction.
Over the last two summers, there were increased number of sightings of polar bears swimming in open water, chasing basically ice edge that has retreated so far north that there is little chance that those polar bears will reach this ice before they drown.
The likelihood of superstorms picking up strength from warming ocean waters.
We do expect there to be more extreme weather all over the world. More extreme droughts, more extreme floods. As a whole, we expect these sorts of things to increase.
Oceans on the rise.
The next thing people usually worry about is the Greenland ice sheet. And it's this 2-mile pile of snow, and if that were to melt, it raises global sea level about 23 feet.
23 feet!
Worldwide, hundreds of millions of people near the coasts may be pushed inland.
Hundreds of millions of people.
Like southern Florida, threatened with submersion. And major coastal cities, from New York to Shanghai, flooded. And there may be one other negative effect of the Greenland melt. Cold water runoff could divert the warm Gulf Stream from reaching Europe, plunging that continent into a mini ice age.
We could change that ocean current, and that could actually change the climate abruptly.
And that's not all. Rainfall patterns could be disrupted.
In the past, whenever it froze in the North Atlantic in the winter, it got dry in places where a lot of people live, like a couple of billion people in the monsoon belts. And so if this happened, it would be just a hideous disaster.
Okay, I hate to be Debbie Downer here. You know, it's so much more fun to just say what nitwits the other side is all the time, because that's fun. Come on. But listen, did you hear this? This is 2013. If you saw the special, like at some point, and I don't consider myself a grown-up necessarily, but at some point, why aren't the cable networks doing constant reporting like, oh, my God, like 2013, these scientists are saying Arctic ice is all going to melt. That means then what you get there, okay, just so you know, because Russia's going to confuse you, that's like there's that is sea ice. So like in a glass of water with an ice cube in it, it's going to melt. The sea level rise doesn't result from that. But what happens is then the Earth absorbs all of a sudden all that ice which reflected the ultraviolet rays is gone. Okay, all of a sudden the planet is going to start warming at the quickest. It's going to accelerate at crazy rates, and the tundra melts. That adds methane to the greenhouse gas barrier. Okay. And all this stuff starts happening, like, out of control. Now, with the flu pandemic, okay, we can deal with this. We can contain it. We have antiviral drugs. We have all these things. Stopping the melting of the Arctic ice and then trying to contain that once that feedback loop gets started, because we can't block out ultraviolet rays. And this is 2013. Okay, right now it's 2009. You have people fighting in Washington, D.C. over what will happen to Social Security in 2042. And you have nonstop news coverage of the flu pandemic that, I should go to Mexico just to make a point, actually. The order of, and we have some listeners who would rather just have hearings on prosecution of Bush administration officials. And I understand that, but you're going to have to make some adult choices here. And for everyone who thinks we can absolutely do everything, stop this imminent change to our planet. 2013, gone. Arctic ice, gone. You don't think we're moving into a doomsday scenario, as Lester Holt said from MSNBC? This was not a movie. These are scientists saying this. Why are their voices? And I want to know this, honestly. I mean, that's a way worse situation than this flu pandemic. So if I am wrong about the media and the media oxygen, then it's just too hard to get your hands around. It seems like too hard to understand. What is it exactly? No, I'll tell you what it is. Because the media, they like things. They like to scare you first. There is a pecking order of how media and how they cover things. They want immediate danger. Whether it is flu pandemic or whether the mascara you bought could be dangerous. Special Channel 7 Action News investigation into your mascara. What's hiding behind that? What's in your kids' school bag lunches? Okay, that's first. Then the next is whodunit, corruption trials. Okay, that's the impeachment. That is, for better or worse, it will consume the media oxygen, whether it is now or later. Or justified, which I've said it is, and that is the investigation into if there were laws broken. That's the next thing, because people can get their hand around it. Oh, did I forget dead white girls? Because that's really high up there. Missing dead white girls. Media loves to cover that. The Scott Petersons. That's something people can wrap their hands around. Complicated economic situations, like over-leveraged global economies and trade policies and toxic asset complications and credit default swaps, not so much. But worse yet, climate science, even if it is the worst possible of all of those things to you, you hardly hear about. You're going to hear flu pandemic nonstop. 2013, a series of triggers are going to happen. 2013. How old are your kids right now? That will be causing potentially 23-foot floods in coastal cities and wreak untold political unrest and climate change winters in Europe. Changing the jet stream, drought, 2013. Where's your 24-hour media hysteria when it comes to that? So when it comes to media oxygen and my theory that there's only so much of it, I think I rest my case. Shotgun shine, shame my life. Wonder if that's sun with a blue moon in your eyes. Talk about nitwits and evildoers. Suppose that's what we can do during our Bach, what is it called, Bachnallian barbecue? The swine flu epidemic, pandemic. It's the Nancy Skinner Show, 1-888-64-NANCY, 1-888-646-2629. Don't you think the odds, though, are pretty weird that I would time a trip to Mexico? I got to give you that. That's pretty weird. And I do not know whether I should go. I mean, it's usually when the Surgeon General himself says you shouldn't go, you know, I suppose that's pretty strong. But sometimes I think we can whip ourselves into panics that aren't deserved, and then we don't whip ourselves into the panics that are deserved. Do you get what I'm saying there? And whenever I get on my high horse about global warming, it's because I see the media and they just don't focus. They're not focused on this stuff. And it's just, it keeps getting closer and closer. And I'm watching this special last night going, oh, this is great. It's this documentary on MSNBC saying in 2013, the Arctic ice will be completely melted, which triggers the Greenland ice cap next to it, which will start inundating our shorelines 23 feet. It's 4 or 5 years out. And so, you know, we're caught in this partisan stuff. And I mean, I think that the entire last 8 years were a complete debacle. I do. But you know what? It's like at some point I look at President Obama and I think that's why his poll numbers are so high, because I think the public, they just look at him and they have this sense of, okay, He gets that it's not like Dick Cheney. No way. They look at Dick Cheney and think, you know, this guy is all about himself and his own advancing his own agenda. Bush, they looked at him and felt like doesn't have what it takes to do it, the job. I think the poll numbers, which are still coming out, it'll be all 100 days, the first 100 days. That's all going to be this week. But people look at him and think he has a sense of all this. He has a sense of an understanding what has to happen. And a sense of all of it. And he has come out, and I've got some statements coming up. Robert Gibbs was on Meet the Press and had some statements about the swine flu and the prosecution of the Bush administration officials, which, again, and I'm as we move into this, I'm telling you, it's going to strip more media oxygen out of there. And they know this. I absolutely guarantee that they know that they are not going to be able to deal with stuff where people are going to die if they don't. I mean, if we focus all of our attention on this. I assure you that conversation has gone on. That they're like, who are the grown-ups here? I know I want vengeance. It would be great. It'd be great for ratings. It'd be great for talk radio. But is it good for the country? 1-888-64-NANCY, the number to the program. Let's go to Rochester, New York, and get Mark in here. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Nancy. How are you doing?
I'm well, thank you. Hey.
I've been listening to your show, and that's truly alarming, the stuff you've been saying about the NBC special about Arctic warming in 2013 and all that. And I've heard you say repeatedly that there's insufficient coverage for it, which is true. There's just insufficient coverage for a lot of the most important things. While you do get pounded over the head with the meaningless flu pandemic thing, is we have our 40 people, none of whom died. It's not really all that serious a situation. You keep saying things about media oxygen, and I wanted to ask you exactly what you meant by that, because your show is relatively new in my market. It hasn't been on the air that long, and I haven't really heard you talk about it before.
Well, okay. I appreciate that question, and I'm going to answer it. I'll start now. How long do I got, Craig? 40 seconds. I'm going to have to finish on the other side. Hold on, Mark. I'm not going to cut you off so you can come back, because we'll talk about this. We live in a interconnected media environment now, and there is a singular focus on topics pretty much, and that moves politicians. It used to be that the news covered the policy. It's reversed now. That's my theory. And so when you have something as big, as complicated as this, and it doesn't get the attention it deserves in the media, it doesn't move in policy. And that is my point. We'll talk about it on the other side at the Nancy Skinner Show. dog crisis today. We're prioritizing our crises. That's the most important thing. It is the Nancy Skinner Show, and I am Nancy Skinner, 1-888-64 Nancy. And what can you do about it? Well, swine flu, we're going to get into that, what you can do about swine flu. Now everyone's in a panic. Every website on the break I just went to, WHO raises their alert level. I mean, I went through all of my top news and political websites, and it's swine flu. Not nonstop coverage, as I pointed out to you in the last hour. And last week, because it was Earth Week, actually both CNN and MSNBC have had specials on global warming. But MSNBC had Future Earth on last night, and if you missed the dramatic ending of that program, it said that the Arctic ice is actually melting, will be completely melted by 2013. So what, 4 years? And then that is going to set an accelerating rate of warming off, like really accelerate. This is exponential now because you don't have that ice to bounce it off of. So, and a few degrees, and we're talking about changing the jet stream. We're talking about massive flooding because the Greenland ice shelf will go. You're talking about the permafrost and the tundra releasing methane. So everything this is what Al Gore kept talking about, is these things accelerate. It's not a linear 100 years from now thing. Okay, the swine flu, which is apparently not even killing people, has got the whole world on alert. And to me, it's so bizarre that we cannot get people to focus on things that seem a little more far off than an immediate threat to their life via flu. Now, last week I had a guest scheduled to talk a little bit about global warming, and we had something came up on Earth Day. We weren't able to talk about it. But it is right around the corner. And cap and trade is the solution. It's the big policy solution. So that's why I talk about that cap and trade program, and I was involved in creating it, and then I was on Fox News, and that's where I got all those nasty emails. But there's other things that you can do. You can do right now. If you feel helpless, I don't want to put you in the scare you position and then make you feel completely helpless about this, because there are things that individuals can do other than going on Fox News and fighting for conservatives about cap and trade, which I highly recommend just for the experience of it. But if you don't do that, you can do things around the house. And someone who kind of took action, did it on her own, formed a group of people to do something, how to green her whole situation. She's a mom, Mary Beamer, and she started BeamGreen.com, this organization, and she helps families just take action in their houses, and has developed this website, BeamGreen.com, and how to green a whole bunch of things. And so we had to reschedule on Earth Day, and we wanted to make sure that we gave people some good suggestions, and we brought Mary back. Thanks, Mary. Thanks for coming back to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me, Nancy.
So I played for folks, as you heard, the big picture of global warming right around the corner, scary reality. It's not even like if, it's when, kind of. But we can slow it down a little bit. That's if we take these actions. We can slow this beast down. On a macro level, we have to do big policies. But you work on what can anyone just do in their own homes to help improve their environment? So why don't we go through what it is that you're doing, your efforts, and what you're advising people to do so that they don't feel so helpless.
Awesome. And at BeamGreen.com, we definitely believe that what is simple is true. So you just mentioned a lot of, like, macro ideas. And to bring down, like, the fear factor to the micro level, It's great for all the listeners to remember that the planet and people are interconnected. So even like the simplest steps can have the greatest impact. And especially with the swine flu, I maybe would just like to share three easy things everyone can do to boost their immunity.
Okay, because I'm going to Mexico next week, so sure, give me some tips.
Right, if we boost immunity, that can help with swine flu or any other things. And the number one easy, simple thing that any person can do is before they eat any meal, to have a salad first. So we like, one of my mentors likes to call that the bulletproof vest. You have your salad, which is the bulletproof vest, before you eat any entree, any sandwich, any soup.
Why is that?
Because raw vegetables are so high in enzymes, which are basically the fountain of youth and help to prevent degenerative disease. So if you have a raw salad, whatever vegetables you like, right before you eat your meal, you're basically buffering your entire digestive system.
So we got that. We don't have a whole lot of time. Move on. I'm talking about
Global. Number two, do not drink water with meals. That hinders digestion. And number three, no late night eating, basically like after 7 o'clock or 3 hours before you go to bed. So those three tips.
With the exception of really good greasy pizza, I think is.
Maybe just add some spinach.
Yeah, okay. Now how about the stuff that people are, you know, in terms of, I focus a lot on greenhouse gas emissions. What do you say for people? How do they deal with their energy use around the house?
Basically just biggest thing you can do is when you're brushing your teeth, turn off the water. When you leave a room, turn off the lights. What is simple is true.
Okay. Well, that's great. Hey, there's a lot more information on your website, greenbeam.com, than we were able to get to, but a lot of good stuff if you're trying to also improve your health, your general health, too, as I peruse Mary's website. Thanks, Mary Beamer. Appreciate your help today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nancy.
Okay,
take care.
You bet. All right, so we're going to get back to this whole thing because, I do all those things. I do. It's not enough to stop the ice cap from melting in 2013. You think the markets, I mean, this is like the blinders are on in a big way. We should make everyone at CNBC sit down and watch, if it's their own company, NBC, every trader on CNBC should be forced to watch the MSNBC special last night. Can you imagine how quickly they would embrace cap and trade if they were forced to see that? You know, like, these are the smart people that are running the markets, right? Investing our money and stuff, and they're completely ignorant about something that's just at our doorstep. That it's going to be like, wow, way better than the movie. All right. More of your calls on that. I'll give you a little bit of my food fight stuff on that, and then Robert Gibbs. You can see his pain in the chair at Meet the Press, trying to say, "Oh please, Gregory, don't make us deal with this crap. Our plate is full, dude." That's what he's saying. Our plate is so full, you have no idea. So I got a little sound and more of your calls coming up. And a lot of people are weighing in on email, so I suppose you could do it on the phone. If you were me, would you go to Cabo? Come on. Would you take all this scare tactics? Or would you just go? Take my Tamiflu and go. Because what does it matter? I got some good responses on that. I'll share them with you and take your phone calls. 1-888-64-NANCY, that's 1-646-2629, as we rock on the Nancy Skinner Show.
Distributing yellow cards at ports of entry. These will provide information on swine flu so that people coming into the United States will have information about this outbreak, what to do if they become sick, what things that they can do to prevent the likelihood that they will become sick. Later today, we will be releasing a new travel advisory for Mexico. This is out of the abundance of caution, and we will be recommending that non-essential travel to Mexico be avoided. We'll also be including in there steps people can take should they need to travel to Mexico during this time. Again, this is out of an abundance of caution. As we learn more, you can look to see our travel recommendations reflect that.
Is it non-essential travel? I would argue it's essential travel for me. To take a couple days off. I could make that argument. That is the director of the CDC saying that you shouldn't go to Mexico. and people are weighing in to my website saying all kinds of things. At Nancy at NancySkinnerLive.com. Remember, when you go to the website, and I do really appreciate a lot of great emails I've received, but remember to sign up, though, there, too, so that you can always know what I'm up to, what I'm doing. But Charles has written in for a long time, and he is a very funny guy. I don't often share them because some of them sometimes they're over the top. He and Janine. Ooh, that'll get people going. Nancy, please don't go to Cabo. We don't want you to become a dead white girl, in quotes, which I said is something the media likes to cover. The chances of you getting swine flu might not be great, but why take the chance? Look at it this way. If you go missing or become a dead white girl, your fate will suck. That's quite true. Your fate will suck all the oxygen out of the media and will never get to learn about the global climate disruptions. So Charles is trying to tell me if I go and something surreptitious happens to me that we won't solve the global warming problem. Well, I must admit I've been a very loud and frequent reminder that this is a way more urgent thing to be dealing with, but I don't think my one lone voice will affect the planet. Now, I got some I'm going to play a little bit of this. I got some calls that asking me to answer this question, and so I should, about cap and trade, and then I'm going to get into the media oxygen thing and the choices that we're making, because they called and said, well, what, you always say cap and trade. What do you mean cap and trade? Okay, on the big scale. And this is what we debated on Fox. This is a market-based philosophy, so that you know this. Basically, we completed it during the Clean Air Act. It was part of the Clean Air Act with sulfur dioxide, and back in 1992. And so what they did is they worked with utilities. And at the time, they were emitting SO2, sulfur dioxide, acid rain. Remember acid rain was this huge problem, acid rain? Who talks about acid rain anymore, right? We talk about swine flu. And so what they did is they experimented with a market-based mechanism, and they capped the emissions. They said, okay, you can only emit so much, and they gave them plenty of time to be able to get technology to cap that. And so you can only emit so much, and that if you go over your level, your limit, then let's say if you go under your limit, then they're going to turn it into a commodity. And let's say you're per ton of sulfur, if you are under that limit, you can take that ton of sulfur that you are under, commoditize it, and then sell it on a market. It's worth money. And if you are over that limit, if you have so many tons over your SO2 limit, then you have to buy on that market. Okay? And it was regulated by the government, the EPA. And so they experimented with this. And at the time, everybody said, oh, this is going to be outrageous. It's going to raise electricity rates. And I'm going to play for you. That's exactly what this argument is coming. This huge argument is coming. That's what we did on Bulls and Bears. It's a tax, and it's going to pass down to consumers and people. Even people, hardworking people, are going to buy this stuff. But what happened was when they first predicted how much it would be, it was something like $2,000 per ton it would cost. And that was the economist's best prediction. And by the time they actually implemented it, because they gave people enough time, the power of the market, when the technology, all these companies ramped up, and they got scrubbers, and they got all this different technology. So by the time they actually instituted the program, it was trading at $60 a ton, nothing. Because the power of the market, everybody knew it was coming. And so everybody, when they were doing their capital projections and purchases, they accounted for it. So the same thing is cap and trade with carbon dioxide and these other greenhouse gases. Just a little more complicated, but basically the government's going to say, we're going to put, you've seen these commercials? I saw lots of them during the special on MSNBC last night. They call it the carbon loophole. And that's what it is. They're going to cap how much carbon dioxide manufacturers can emit, and then those manufacturers, they're going to have plenty of time to reach it. And what will happen is as soon as that law is passed, I guarantee you, the Bill Gates of the world and the Steve Jobs and all the smart entrepreneurs, all these people, the venture capital money, they know there's profit to be made, okay? So you're creating a profit center where right now it's not a profit center. And so the market forces will congeal to find new technologies to make the, you will have an incentive to retrofit buildings. So that, you know, if you have wasteful buildings, you can retrofit them with technologies. As they build new green buildings, they'll use the best LEED certified because they can sell these on a market and make money. So you're going to change instantly the way things are sold. And now when we come back, I'll show you that they're going to call this a tax. They're going to say this is a tax that's going to be passed on down to the consumer. What the other side is missing in this is, one, there are 2 points to debate as we move forward in this. One, that it's not a tax, it's a dividend. Because it's going to create new industries, new jobs. And we've already done it. We did it with the SO2. It worked out beautifully. They've done it in Europe beautifully already. They were way ahead of us. Instead of Kyoto, that was how they implemented it. And two, if we don't do it, we're all dead. How's that? Would you rather be taxed or dead? I guess we could boil it down to that. Because I think tax is better than actually being dead. A dead white girl. I don't know about you, but to me it seems preferable. I'll give you my food fight about this on the other side on Fox News and the Nancy's Gonna Show.
If you say that you are mine, till the end of time.
Thus the question.
So you got to let me know.
I gotta admit the whole Surgeon General thing.
Should I stay or should I go?
Yeah. Usually you don't have a Surgeon General personally telling you, don't go to Mexico.
You're happy when I'm on my knees.
Oh my. My timing in life. The Nancy Skinner Show, Nancy Skinner. I was supposed to go to Cabo on Wednesday. Tickets just for a couple days while we were moving into our new studios, and they wouldn't want me there because they were going to get all those bells and whistles going and then come back and do the live stuff. So I got a couple of emails on that at 1-888-64-NANCY before we move along here. Brandy writes in, I don't know how to read this, actually, Brandy. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know if you're my love letters, hopelessly devoted to you, or I honestly love you. I definitely understand you want to go to Cabo for some well-deserved R&R, but even though you have no reservations about getting sick yourself, think about the time that you would have to be in quarantine so that you do not spread to all the right-wingers at Fox. On second thought, have a great trip. Brandy. Means you want me to go and get sick and, what? Oh, stay down there? Is that what you're saying? Just stay down there in quarantine so I can't come back on Fox? All right, so. We're talking about, I'm just going to give you this, and then I'm going to show you Robert Gibbs, and I'm watching these guys. I'm watching the White House. I know that they're freaking out. Like, this is just, we got too much on our plate, dudes. But if you go to my blog at nancyskinnerlive.com, you can see this. This is the, appearance. We're doing this. We're putting all my new video stuff on the blog. This is Bulls and Bears, but it's about cap and trade. I just want you to hear this because this is a preface. This is the preview of the argument that will be coming to a post-swine flu media, probably media day one, near you.
Happy Earth Tax Day. Yep, President Obama promising to clean up our planet with a new tax. Now, he's not calling it a tax. But, Eric, you say the so-called Earth Day tax will be a dirtier word than April 15th?
Cap and trade, let's call it pollution tax. No, in fact, let's call it manufacturing tax. I'm glad Nancy Skinner's on the show because she can't win this one. Here's what it is. Either you produce a gallon of gasoline, a kilowatt hour of electricity, or a bag of Fritos, you're going to pollute a little bit in the process. You get taxed. You're going to do one of two things. Number one, you're going to pass that on to the consumer. Bad. Or number two, you're going to move to China or India where there is no cap and trade tax. Badder.
All right. Nancy, is that worse?
No, this is free market nirvana. It's taking all the powers of the market to find those technologies, to incentivize green technologies. It gives companies plenty of time to really put profit in inventing those technologies. We did it back with the Clean Air Act, and it worked brilliantly. And we're not, it's not a government control and command kind of thing. It's free market, it's profit, it's green jobs, it's perfect.
So, Toby, you must really like it then.
Yeah, you know, here's why it's better, Eric, because the idea, first off, in Europe doesn't work. It's already been proved the prices collapse. It hasn't worked, number one. Number two, the idea was supposed to be that if they increased, if they added this pollution tax onto a corporation, that they would pay less in corporate tax, so it would offset their corporate taxes. But no, we decided that we were going to add this new pollution tax on already onto the corporate world, so instead of deducting it, it's going to be a whole other set of taxes. So unfortunately, it's dead on arrival.
Well, Pat, you're not too worried about this, though, are you?
Well, I think the larger issue, whether that, you know, it's a tax or cap and trade or call it what you will, is whether
this is four against one, right?
Change the behavior of emitters to actually reduce carbon output. And the price they're talking about per ton of carbon right now is around $20 per ton. That, according to our studies, is not going to high enough to change behavior. And so basically at that point, you have this big scheme that doesn't really do very much. You need prices north of $30, probably closer to $40, to actually impact the emission of carbon.
Yeah, but Patrick, let me just jump in there, Patrick. If you put the price at $40 or $50 a ton, the price in China is zero right now. They've told us they're not doing it. They're not going to go there. So our companies, we're going to lose jobs. They'll just put them right over there.
Well,
hold on, Toby. I got to get Gary B in there. Okay. Gary B.
Well, you know, I think Pat's right. You know, the price is going to start low, and then
the
government will realize they're not affecting behavior as much as they want, and then they'll jack up.
Trying to count the right wingers.
Do you remember what happened with when people were freaking out with $4 a gallon gasoline? It looked like it was going to go to $10 a gallon gasoline. That's going to be the effect, but not just on motorists and people driving. That's going to be an effect on the economy.
Be scared.
Period.
Be scared.
It's not going to affect the environment because you got still big polluters out there who are going to pollute even more, like China. So that whole plank of you know, save the environment, that's false. What it's really going to do is hurt the economy, put more money in the government's pockets, and that's why this is never going to go away.
Okay, 10 seconds. 10 seconds.
Two points. That's why we start slow to get the send the market signal so people have plenty of time to do this. They have it in Europe. It's working beautifully, and it will create jobs. It'll be a windfall, not
all
a tax.
Right.
Okay, there you go. So the battle that I fight. Now, some people would say to me, and I hear this a lot on the show, you know, why do you even go on? You know what? Because this is it's me going on and fighting them is better than to have just them going on amongst themselves. And saying it's a tax, it's gonna cost you, and you know that that's going to be the argument, and that's my choice. I go on and I say it is not. It is going to drive us. It is the solution. It is going to drive a climate solution. It's going to create those green jobs. And that is why I do what it is I do. Now I know that that Robert Gibbs. They're looking at all of these things. I'll move along here. You can check that out at nancyskinnerlive.com. He was on Meet the Press, and you can hear in this answer, he was asked about the president, the White House's position on investigations, and try, if you will, to discern some concern about this deflecting from the agenda.
Does the president believe or suspect that Bush administration lawyers conspired to violate the anti-torture law?
Well, I think that's a determination that the lawyers are going to make, and they're going to have to take a look at that.
There are those who say this is a president who's playing politics. He is straddling this issue because he wants to appease his liberal activist base, who very much wants accountability from the Bush years over this issue.
Well, I think what's important for anybody to understand in this is that we got to this point on these memos for one reason. There was a legal case that our Justice Department and many lawyers throughout the government felt was completely unwinnable. Given that, the president does believe strongly in transparency and believed that there was no legal basis for which to withhold these memos. That's why they were released.
So, in other words, Gregory's asking him, you know, is he worried about his agenda? Yeah, and the legal process forced it. That's what happened. The legal process forced the release of it, and the legal process will continue. And it will continue in Congress. But I will continue to make sure, as long as I'm not a dead white girl, that I'm talking about an issue that somebody, you know, before I end on this note, Reggie wrote in something very thoughtful. Reggie said, this is how it works, Nancy. The problem is the media can be fixated on the swine flu all day long because they can whip up a frenzy of fear. That's how it works. Unless something can be sensationalized and made easy for average folks to grasp, it's not considered newsworthy. Global climate change, on one hand, is too complex for most people to grasp. It can't be synthesized into sound bites. It's not difficult for most people to accept the potential for diseases to strike and run rampant. Climate change is, after all, what Al Gore labeled an inconvenient truth. For good reason. Most people are living in denial. Seems too much like science fiction to give it proper attention. Sadly, once the effects become increasingly unmistakable is when the major news outlets will begin paying attention. As they say, if it bleeds, it leads. Your biggest problem, Nancy, is that you're approaching the subject with reasonableness. That is my major problem, Reggie. The public loves panic. As long as they can look out their windows and things look fine, they won't hear your concerns. Peace, Reggie. You nailed it, Reggie. Panic. How do we cause panic about global warming? I don't know. If inconvenient truth didn't do it, if these MSNBC things don't do it, these members of Congress realize we've got 4 years before the Arctic ice melts, it's too late. See, do you understand the problem here? So I'm going to Mexico because, you know, if in 4 years this starts melting and then all of a sudden we can't do anything about it and we're just going to live in... And there's a number of groups that just say we have to deal with what we call, what's it called? Adaptation. They say, we got to stop focusing on correcting it and move into adaptation. And that there's a whole group of people talking about that. What does adaptation mean? Who are these? Well, they're talking about, hey, if the flood levels, you know, Greenland ice shelf melts and we're talking 23-foot levels, you know what, Manhattan, you're gone. So you better start to move to Buffalo. And Michigan's going to do pretty well, actually, I got to say, because we got lots of water. We're not going to be flooded. We don't have sea level. And we got water, so when there's droughts, we're okay. I'm okay in Michigan here pretty much. So I shouldn't really worry about it, but... nonetheless, it exists. All right, take a quick break. We have one more segment here, and I'm going to get you updated on the ever-increasing global fears concerning swine flu and your concerns about my impending trip to Mexico at 1-888-64-NANCY. That's 646-2629 in our last segment of the program. Oh, this is interesting. The Fox Network is going to stick with its No Mr. President, No to the primetime live news conference on Wednesday. Fox Network is sticking with its regular schedule over President Obama's news conference this week, turning down his request for what would be his third news conference on his 100th day in office. Instead, Fox viewers will see an episode of the Tim Roth drama Lie to Me. Have you even heard of this? It's the first time a broadcast network has refused Obama's request. It's his third news conference. ABC, CBS, and NBC are airing it, and Fox is not. Well, come on. That doesn't take a rocket science. It's just because they don't want wall-to-wall coverage of how much he's done in 100 days. They don't want the commentary to follow. Not that their commentators would follow and say, yeah, well, let's see. He's pretty much stabilized the global economic meltdown, hopefully. And he's dealing with bird flu and energy policy and healthcare and energy. All those things are going on. No. The other big news that I touched on just briefly, but I know this is going to be a big deal, that it's just this kind of it's a sense of governing. And in the spending bill, there was $780 million put in there for pandemic flu preparedness. And it was taken out by GOP Maine Senator Susan Collins as excess spending. And she bragged about it, that she took out the funding for pandemic flu preparedness. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that it's so much easier. We just lose those media battles because it's so much harder to make the case for why you need to do these things. You know, yeah, you got it, the whole bird thing, the whole avian flu, the whole, you know, pandemic thing, global warming, all these things. Yes. And it's so much harder to go and Fox and say, it's a tax, bad. And I'm telling you, that is why you don't, and I hate going back to it, but I have a few minutes. That is why it is a losing battle to start. We are going to go back into defense if we start these, if we don't deal with some of these things right now, and I'm sorry, it's going to be a losing battle because we are back on defense. You could hear, listen to Robert Gibbs, okay? He's already, Gregory has him back on defense. We had the upper hand. People care about the economy. They care about not getting swine flu, and they do care about global warming and what we need to do. But then you're going to turn it around, and you're going to turn it into this partisan thing, and you're going to be back on defense.
With respect to those who formulated those legal decisions, I would say that is going to be more of a decision for the Attorney General within the parameters.
Nope, that's not the one I wanted. Here's the one I wanted.
Do you doubt those conclusions?
Well, David, I don't think you apparently have the slide where Admiral Blair, the Director of National Intelligence, says very clearly that, one, you can't determine whether any information gotten from any suspect, good or bad, couldn't also be gotten by another method. That the totality of the use of these methods became a rallying cry and a recruitment tool for the very same people that wanted to do us harm. And that in his opinion and the opinion of both many in the administration to deal with national security, as well as many that work outside of our administration, that the use of these techniques, the rallying cry and the recruitment tool that they provided Al-Qaeda, the notion that you can't determine the efficacy of these programs, and that you might well have easily gotten any of the information procured this way in a different mean, that it actually makes our country less safe.
I want to stop you at one point. And you say you can't determine the efficacy of these programs. As you know, Vice President Cheney and others have said this is not a subjective question. The CIA has additional memos indicating what was gained from these practices. And I know there's a process underway to review whether those additional memos should be released.
Right.
Is it the president's view that they should be released?
The president is, and the administration have taken the request to declassify these memos that Vice President Cheney made March 31st. They're in the very same process that if somebody else determined that a memo should be declassified. They're being looked at by the administration. They'll be examined by the Director of Central Intelligence, the National Security Advisor. It's a process that takes about 3 weeks.
Okay, did you hear that? I mean, honestly, the question before that was, you're going to get the media, because this is the game they play, because they need ratings, okay? For people, this is someone asked me this, and what was his name, in Rochester, New York. So if we start down this road, then it's going to be torture works. They're going to go back to, they are so much better at offense, and that puts us back on defense, and they're going to say torture works. So Robert Gibbs is spending his time saying why torture doesn't work. You can't assume that the question is going to be that the laws were broken on torture, because they're going to have their arguments, just like the pollution tax, that it's a tax. You know, you got to thread the needle so carefully on this. And so I understand the hesitancy, I do, of this administration in exactly how they deal with this. Because if you want to go back on defense again, And they are. I know. I guarantee you. The GOP loves this stuff. This is back in their territory. We kept this nation safe. Torture works. We have these memos, as Gregory is saying, that can prove that they saved the library in Los Angeles, right? Folks, you heard that. And the public's confused. It's like a tennis match. They go back and forth, back and forth. The assumption that, you know, the media is going to play referee fairly in this, it's just, they're not. It's about oxygen. And they're gonna pose the arguments that the other side is, and we're going to play this game. Meanwhile, really, really important stuff doesn't get handled. So, so much for that. I'm going to have to do a little more research myself on the swine flu and the travel advisories and the Surgeon General's warnings, and come up with a reasoned response. Let's put it that way, and I will report back to you tomorrow with lots more, one way or another. All righty then. Just another great day on the Nancy Skinner Show.